Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for Jesus, thanking you that he is with us, that he is in us, that your spirit is here present in every believer, that your power is available to us, your power is at work through us. We thank you so much for the good news of what you have done. Thank you for allowing us to live at this time in history where we can look back at the cross and the work that you had prepared for thousands of years and that you accomplished in full and that Jesus himself was able to cry, "It is finished." We get to announce that news to friends, to family, to coworkers, to people in our lives. And we get to pray for those who we will probably never meet. Some of these we've talked about even now. We pray for our missionaries as they share Christ with men and women, boys and girls who haven't heard his name the way your word teaches it or maybe at all. And I pray that you would help them to share the truth and that you would continue to work in the heart of this one who went with them 2 weeks ago to hear the gospel at a Christian church. Lord, we think of every one of us here has unsaved family members who need the truth, that need Jesus. And I pray that you would work in their hearts, mothers, sisters, brothers, aunts and uncles, cousins. Lord, would you please cause us to have courage to speak and share with them. And then the truth that these family members already know about us and from us or others, would you cause that truth to take root in them? May they have hearts that are plowed and ready for the word. God, soften and break up the hard and fallow ground in their heart and cause your word to grow and them to breathe life into them, I pray, and that you would give us more opportunities to share with them. And Lord, we just thank you so much that you are the God who has called yourself the Savior. Your name is Yahweh, which is Jehovah God. Yahweh is salvation. Jesus is Yahweh is salvation. You are Jesus, the Savior. You are the Christ, the Messiah. And I pray that you would now help us as we study even this very theme of evangelism. And we pray that you would work in us and prepare us and cause us to enjoy and rejoice and be challenged and motivated to share Christ this week, even today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we started last Sunday a series on encouraging evangelism, which comes right out of our founding documents. And so we're going to continue this series this morning. And I just wanted to give you an overview. We started last Sunday, we'll continue this morning, the Bible on evangelism. Not everything the Bible has to say about evangelism, but trying to understand the basic and primary thrust of evangelism in the New Testament particularly. And then evangelism and our church, evangelism and Grace Bible Church. We're going to look at that. And then evangelism resources. What are the resources that our church has available to us through our website or print materials that we already have? There are others beside that, but we're going to focus primarily on those because that will take us time enough. And then evangelism and you. What does this mean for you based upon what we're learning? Evangelism by faith, to fit with the theme that Pastor has been preaching on or started preaching last Sunday. And really, if we're going to evangelize, preach the gospel, we've got to believe in the God who saves and in the God who said these things. We talked about people who believe, but what does that mean? We need to know what we're talking about and thinking about. Evangelism, preparation. We're going to spend some time using one of those resources that was mentioned last Sunday from gotherefore.com. We're going to do one of those together. And then we're going to pray together, at least one class, depending on the time, maybe two. And we're going to get in here, and I'll probably have you give us some requests ahead of time, and that way we could go to prayer more quickly. I'll just be thinking through how to do that in the best possible way, in a corporate way, to pray together. Because unless God works, no one will be saved. But because God does work and has worked, we're here, and we're trusting in Christ, those of us who are believers. All right? So encouraging evangelism, that's where we're going. This will not all be separate weeks. These will overlap and be part of, you know, we'll cover a couple some weeks. We'll cover half of one some weeks. We'll see how it goes. All right, so that's the overview. That's where we're going. The Bible on evangelism. I'm going to review briefly and put some of these up here so you can have it in your hand if you'd like to take it home. The word evangelism I mentioned last Sunday does not appear in our English Bible translations, and that's just not the New American Standard. That's the King James. That's the New NIV. The ESV, New King James, that particular word doesn't appear. So what are we doing talking about it? Why are we using it? Well, the word evangelist does appear those three times that I showed to you, we looked at last Sunday. And it's because the Greek word translated evangelist has at its core the word for gospel. It's the primary component. I put up there a Greek word. I know that probably looks like Greek to you, and that's because it is. But I wanted you to see, and your handout will help you a little bit, because you can see all three of those words there grouped together. Do you see how the same, you know, you can just look at letter by letter and notice that the similarity there. Let me just, before I get to the rest on your handout, the passages that use the word evangelist show us someone who is proclaiming the gospel, especially in new places with people who haven't heard the good news. Now, the Greek word that is used in the New Testament for evangelizing, what those evangelists are doing, is taken again. It's a verb form, the action, the doing of the noun gospel. Euangelion is gospel. Euangelizo or euangelizomai, that's the Greek, that's the verb form of that noun. So you have a noun, gospel. We use the word gospel. Well, evangelizing is simply gospeling. I mean, I don't know how exactly to put it, so we have the word evangelizing, which is nearly a transliteration of this Greek word. And it's the same one that we find in the evangelist, and so it's all of this idea about taking the gospel and doing something with it. So evangelism is the verb. It's doing something with the gospel, the noun, the truth, the thing, the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at Acts again. I'm going to go back and get two verses from last Sunday, and then we're going to move forward into new passages this Sunday. So would you open your Bible and go to Acts chapter 8, and let's look at verse 4. Evangelism is doing something with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doing what? Well, I put it up there on the screen already, but let's look at Acts chapter 4. And remember, these are all the believers of whatever responsibilities and calling they have. Every believer who was scattered from Jerusalem because of the persecution of Saul, they went preaching the word. Acts 8 verse 4, therefore those who had been scattered went about preaching the word, and those who believed in Antioch, for example, became the church in Antioch. They were organized, gathered together as the church in Antioch. Evangelism then is preaching the word of what? It doesn't say in the verse, it says preaching the word. Well, what word are they preaching? The word of Jesus, the word about Jesus, the word of, how does Romans 10 put it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. This is God's word to us, Christ's word himself in the Bible, in our speaking, in his work by his Spirit in our heart. This is preaching the word about Christ or the word of Christ in some fashion. And remember, Pastor Tim has encouraged us to just have a word of God in your heart, on your mind. We were talking to someone yesterday. They were sharing about having a particular word that they were thinking about, a verse they were thinking about, and using that in their own heart. Well, if you'll do that, it's almost certain, like they did with us yesterday, you will share that with someone. But you have to have it on your heart or on your mind and be ready then to speak the word about Christ to someone else. So preaching the same gospel that was preached by Peter and the church in Jerusalem, right? They went out from Jerusalem having heard the apostles' teaching. It was God's time for them to go into all the world. And for whatever reason, they weren't doing it on their own. The teaching, the fellowship was so encouraging. And so God used a pretty strong method to send the gospel to the end of the earth. He brought Saul and he persecuted the church. And they were driven literally from Jerusalem in fear of their lives. And they went everywhere preaching the word. What did they preach? They preached the same message they heard from Peter on the day of Pentecost. The same message that the apostles had been teaching, telling all the world wherever they went about Jesus as Lord and Christ. They'd tell the Jews, Jesus is Yahweh. They'd tell the Greeks, Jesus is the Lord. telling people that Jesus is God, the Creator. He's the Judge. He's the Savior. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures so that you could have eternal life. You need to then repent, turn from your sins, and trust in this Jesus alone. He's not one of the other deities. He is the only deity. And some of you worship him and you don't even realize it. He told those in Acts 17. This Jesus is alive. They preached the resurrection from the dead. He's alive today. He's the Judge. He will judge the living and the dead when he appears. He's coming again. And so there was this extended preaching for some, and maybe, I'm almost certain, for others, it was a brief preaching of the gospel. They may not have, with every person they were with, been able to preach a sermon like Peter did when they left and went to their various cities, but they preached Christ to whomever they were with. So there's preaching that goes on. So evangelism is doing something with the gospel. That means that every one of you is a preacher to some extent. don't go too far with that. We can talk about that in more detail if you'd like. But preaching, be ready to preach to your own. If you're going to share Christ with someone else, share the word of Christ with someone else, where does it have to start? Who do you need to preach to first? And every one of you must be and are. You are a preacher. And who's your primary audience? Your own heart, your own mind. God is taking his word and he's using your thinking, reading, meditating on it to preach to yourself. Oh, soul, why are you cast down? Hope in God. He is my salvation and my God. That's David preaching to himself. And so we preach to ourselves and then we'll be able to preach to others. And the better you preach the gospel to yourself, the better you'll preach it to someone else. And the less you preach to yourself, the less you'll preach to someone else. And so ask God for help in your own heart to preach to yourself. And so then let's look now at Romans 1, 15 through 16. What else does, that's doing something with the gospel. You evangelize yourself, as it were. Take the gospel and use it. Put it to work in your own heart and then in your relationships and in your life. That's Acts 4 and then Romans 1, 15. Now this is exciting. And let's see if we can flesh this out just a little bit. So for my part, Romans 1, 15, this is Paul. I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome because I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, every category, every class, everyone who hears and believes the gospel, we will be saved by the power of God. The gospel, the good news about Jesus is God's power. And so evangelism is doing what? What else are we doing with the gospel? How would you put this? I kept trying to think of different metaphors and they just seem to fall flat, but at the same time they could help. I thought of a Navy ship. Ron, an old one, you know, the new ones too. On the back of a destroyer that I toured with my cousin, they had 64, I think, bays for launching whatever kind of missiles they choose to put in there, even ballistic missiles. And so I was looking at this and I thought, you know, evangelism is launching God's power to save. Look at what the verse says. My part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also at Rome. I'm excited about getting the gospel out of my mouth, sharing it with you, because the gospel is the power of God. So in a sense, when you share Christ, when you share the gospel, it's like launching a ballistic missile. It's like launching something that has the ability to change someone's thinking. Can you change someone's thinking? I mean, you can try awful hard with your kids. They're the best chance you got to change someone's thinking. Can you change their thinking, really? And that will only be external. It won't be real. It has to, if it's going to be real, only God can change it. But repentance is change your mind. God can get in there and change their mind. He can change their heart, their receptivity, their ability, their desire to believe the truth. So in a sense, when you preach Christ, you're launching something that carries with it the power of God. That's amazing. And so you have, in a sense, launching God's power to save someone when you evangelize. What you do with the gospel, this is, remember, evangelism, the verb doing with the gospel, you're launching God's power to save because he is the Savior. Because he does save. That's a verb. It's something he's doing. So we tell of him, we tell of his salvation. In a sense, you're launching God into the heart and mind of that person. And God can radically and does radically change people. So what are you launching? What are you unleashing? I mean, we have these illustrations from church history, and men would use and say things like, the word of God is like a lion. I just turn it loose and it does its work. Or like the hounds of heaven to chase down. Maybe it's an escaped convict, someone who's rebelling against God. Or maybe you think of a fox hunt or something. The sword of the Spirit that goes right past the externals and cuts down to the very marrow, the thing that produces the life of your body, the marrow of your bones. It can go right in and divide asunder between soul and spirit and all those things that we can't even quite figure out. God gets in there and he works. He's like, you're launching that. You're launching the sword of the Spirit into a heart when you preach the gospel. You're launching, you're letting loose the hounds of heaven. You're unleashing the lion of God's Spirit. You are, what else, how else could you put it? I have some others, but I don't want to give them all. What are some other things, as it were, that you could picture? Do you have anything that helps you as you preach the gospel, you share Christ? What's it like? Arrows. It's like loosing an arrow. And it gets over and beyond and past where you can't go and hits its mark. It's like you launching or letting loose or turning loose. People are desperately sick. And they don't know it. And they're sick in their heart. And they're the sick that leads to death. They're all incurably sick. So when you unleash the gospel, when you launch the gospel, when you share the gospel, you're, as it were, turning loose a vaccine that can and will save them. A prescription, some sort of medicine that doesn't just cover but actually works down deep in the heart. You're turning loose, as it were, the divine surgeon who can do perfect surgery. You're turning loose a rescue team. You know, these people are the other picture of the people. They're lost, right? They're lost. They need to be found. So when you preach the gospel, it's as if you were turning loose the... You're flipping the switch so that God himself can shine in their hearts and cause them to come to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Can they do that without a preacher? No. Romans 10 tells us that. People are, again, lost, and so you're turning loose a rescue team to go find them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit can go right in and rescue that soul. We've got to remember these truths. And remember what actually is going on when you share Christ. The hard part is we don't see it quickly or often, do we? And we can give up and become complacent. And I've often done that and even become fearful or even become doubting. But we should not. We need to remember the truth of what God, who God is and what he does as Savior and never forget it. And that will help us as we share Christ with confidence. And when we don't see people saved, don't just give up and say, oh, well, I sowed and I watered and now we'll just see what happens. Yes, to some extent you do that, but in reality, stop and pray and beg God to save souls. I need to do that more, and we're going to do it more by God's grace. We need to beg God. We need to tell God, you said this. This is you. You can change that person's heart. I can't, but you can. So, Lord, work by your power. I'm going to share the truth, but God, you've got to do it. But you need to ask. He's like that unjust judge. Remember in the book of Mark, he says, I'm not an unjust judge, but I want you to pretend as if I were, and you keep asking, and you keep knocking, and you make yourself an annoyance, as it were, by the multiple times that you come to me and the people that you bring to me to beg me to open this heart and turn them to Christ. And so we need to pray and ask the Lord, and we do it with the confidence that the Word of God. I'm preaching the gospel. Evangelizing is like launching God's power to save, because it is. And we're requiring them to repent and believe. We're urging them to do it. We're expecting them to believe. Oh, that was interesting. It put it up and then it put it up again. I'll have to learn something about PowerPoint. All right, let's keep moving. You ought to just stop sometime and just tell the Lord, I can't save anybody, but Lord, I want to see people saved. Somehow you saved me, You opened my eyes to the truth, and I love you, and I love Jesus. You can do that with someone else. You can do that with my, and put in the blank, fill in the blank. And be specific. God, work in their heart. Now, if he doesn't, you can trust him, and you ought to trust him, but don't you give up. Don't you back off. The gospel is still the power of God to save people, and you turn it loose and let God work. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, look at that passage. What did Paul and others in the New Testament do with the gospel of Jesus? What did evangelism look like and sound like? We've looked at some of that. We're going to look at some more. Because remember, evangelism is the verb form. This is English. Do they do English in this room? No. Well, we're going to do a little English in this room, a little Greek. No, not much. Just a verb. It's just what God's doing through the gospel. So what do we see in terms of examples of that? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. Paul says, Jesus didn't send me. Christ did not send me to baptize. Now, he baptized, but that wasn't his primary mission. But I came here to preach the gospel to you. That's our word. And I didn't do it in cleverness of speech so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so what is Paul doing with the gospel? What is he evangelizing? What's another aspect of his evangelism that has to be part of ours? Preaching plainly? Yeah, not with cleverness of speech. Is that what you're looking at there? Yes. Do as plain or clear as we can without... And in some ways, it wasn't so much how he did it, it was more how he didn't do it. How he purposely didn't try to do it like others in Corinth liked to hear. The eloquent speakers. You know, they didn't have TV to watch and movies to watch and other things to distract them. So they enjoyed going to hear a public speaker who was really good. And you know the difference. There are some who are really good and some others who aren't so good. And I know that one better than I like to know it. So you have... Paul doing something else, though, that is critical to your gospel preaching. And what is it? To your evangelizing. It's content, gospel content here. What is it? Just say it. Preaching what? Preaching the cross. That's central to your evangelizing. Yeah, but that's bloody and it's ugly and it's... For us, it's more of the symbol now that we've sort of become accustomed to. But at Paul's time, when he's preaching about the cross, that was no nice concept. It was an executionary object. It was something they used in execution of murderers and of thieves and criminals and traitors. And so you preach the cross because it's so central. You preach Christ. Paul even said, I strove to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so this has to be part of the gospel. It's taking the cross and it's sharing and preaching Christ. Now, that's a huge study in itself, but one of the things you need to do as you prepare to evangelize is you need to study the cross. As you read the Bible, as you think about Jesus, what does the cross of Christ mean? What was going on there on the cross? What was God doing? Why was God bruising, crushing his own son? Was it for his son and his sins, that he'd somehow do something wrong? Or was it for you, for sinners? And so meditate on the cross, and if you will, you'll have something to speak, and you won't be able to not speak or preach about the cross, because we glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our joy. It is our salvation. He on the cross. All right, look at 1 Corinthians 9:16. So learn to communicate the cross in your evangelizing, in what you do with the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, because I'm under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. We need to be careful, don't we? We'll talk about this more when we get into our own personal testimonies and ideas. Sharing the gospel isn't something that we do in order to boast about to someone else. I know that sounds silly, but believe me, it is very real. And it is a challenge and it's a struggle. Well, at least I get to go tell somebody about what I got to share with somebody else. And maybe they'll be impressed, even if the person I told it to really didn't seem to get it. This is not something to boast about, Paul said. Now, I know this is about his ministry, but he's saying the point is this is my obligation, and I have it from Jesus' own mouth. You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So don't pat yourself on the back because you're sharing the gospel. Boast in Jesus Christ and be excited about him because it's a necessity. When God or you, let's say as a parent, command something to your children, it is a necessity that they must do, but most of the time, if not all of the time, why do you give them that command? Because it's for your own sense of satisfaction and well-being as a parent, because of your annoyance about something? Oh, that happens. But when you're a parent who's thinking about the good of your children and the glory of God, why do you give them a command? It's for their benefit. It's for their growth. It's for something in their good. When God commands you to go and preach the gospel, when Paul's under the compulsion, that is a hard word for me. You are obligated. You are commanded. You are required to go and preach Christ. Okay, I'm going to do it this week. Do you realize one of the, and I think I mentioned this last, one of your greatest joys and delight, the thing that will get you out of discouragement, depression, a hard week faster than anything else, is for you to really share Christ with boldness with someone. You'll find your soul thrilling and remembering and thinking about it over and over. And it's not just how you said it or what you said or what you should have said. It's if you'll really meditate on who it is you're preaching. And you do it out of obligation. That's fine, children. If you have to start, just do it because you have to. But when you do it because you have to, all of a sudden it will be your delight. It'll be your joy, and God will use it to encourage and to feed you. So share Christ because you have to. Don't pat yourself on the back because you shared the gospel this week. You're supposed to do that, okay? You're like a servant. You just did what your Lord required of you. But then you'll find the joy and the delight and the excitement of understanding how it was not only for God's glory that you did that, but for your good that you did that. So share Christ. You're under an obligation to do it, so you can't boast about it, but it is a joy. All right, 1 Corinthians 9:16. We're going to have to end with this one, but let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Wait a minute. Is that the one we just did? Huh. No wonder we're behind. Looking at this going, oh dear. Let's do 15. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now I make known to you, brethren and sistren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Let me just put these both up here. So you need to preach the word of the gospel. You need to preach Christ. You need to preach the truth of Christ and who God is and what he did, which means you need to know it. Preach it to yourself. And then this one other reality. I don't believe this is a threat to your salvation. This doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. Those of you who are genuinely born again of God aren't going to be unborn again. That's a whole other subject. But it is true that you have to keep on preaching the gospel to yourself day after day after day, moment by moment by moment. The reality of God as your creator, the reality of God as your judge, the God who is your savior, who is your father, who is your friend, who is your Lord, who is the one who loves you and whom you love. And so the truth by which you became saved is a truth that you need to keep standing on. The truth of the gospel is what you live by. And the better you know it and the better you understand it, the more often you'll be willing and able to speak of it. To speak of it to your own heart. To speak of it to your children or to your spouse or to your relatives or to your coworkers. Because you realize that I don't live by bread alone, but I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And one of the ways, in one word, you can summarize the whole Bible is what? Good news. This is gospel. This is the gospel. The Bible, the truth of the word, the truth of God is the gospel. It's the good news. And so you live by that word and you preach that word and you must keep on believing that gospel. Even if it looks like all the powers of hell are lined up against it. He's saying in Young Men's Fellowship about all the powers of hell, even all the powers of hell will bend the knee before my great King of glory. They will bow the knee, and they already believe the facts of the gospel, even if your coworkers don't. But even they will bend the knee, but it won't be in salvation. It will be in damnation. But let's pray that all those that we get to come in contact with will bow the knee to the Lord and believe the truth of the gospel before it will be in damnation, while they can still be saved and enjoy the fellowship with Christ. I'm just going to, we'll continue with our notes next week, but let me just conclude with this. As you evangelize, as you take the gospel and do something with it, like we've heard, like we've seen, and we'll see some more, remember, it is God's saving power at work through you. And it's you sharing with people not just a set of facts. When does your talking take on a new life? My sister-in-law just got engaged yesterday. So my guess is, and this is actually kind of sad and hard for us because we're out here and we don't get to hear her talk about it, and she doesn't, you know, do phone and email real well with us. And so, but I'm pretty sure that today she's talking with a lot of people in a rather excited and eager and focused way about what just happened to her. But it's not because of what happened to her, I hope. And if so, we'll have to talk maybe and pray about that. It's because of who she's engaged to. It's a relationship thing. And so if your desire and your ability and your drive to share the gospel is kind of thin or waning, and you're not eagerly launching God's power to save through your heart, through your life, focus not so much on the content, though that's critical. Focus on the relationship. Focus on the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you know what he's done? Do you know who he is? And do you love him? Because if you love him and if you know him, you will. You can't help but speak of him to yourself, to those right around you in your Jerusalem, and then to whomever you're able to. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you this morning praying that you would continue to work in our hearts, not just now, but in the next hour and the next day and in the week and months to come, that you would cause us to know and to love you, our God and our Savior. May we each cry like Thomas, my Lord and my God, even though it wasn't so long ago that we were proud and we were stubborn and we didn't believe unless we could see. Lord, help us to see the truth in your word with the eyes of faith. We can't put our fingers into the wounds in your hands or your side, but we can look into your word and see and understand, and your spirit helps us. So we ask by your grace that you would work in us so that we would be evangelists, that we would evangelize, that we would take the gospel and go to work with it and know that it's not by our power or by our might, but it's by your spirit. And you can work, and you will work, and we beg you to work in the hearts of people. Everyone that we prayed for this morning and that we'll pray for this week that we have on this little list that we made. Oh God, launch your power through us as we share the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.